So Ali Bostad, company manager, stage manager, a travel agent. What happened in 2012 that was cool for you?
Well, I think the highlight of my year, I have a new niece. Adelaide Rose Bostad was born in February, and I've gotten to see her twice. And she's fantastic and looks like me, so that's a plus. I'm sure Tiffany...
She's about as tall as you, I'm guessing, too.
She is, in fact. My sister-in-law was in the room, I'm sure, sometime, but the kid looks like a Bostad. Sorry, Tiffany. Her older sisters do, too. We're all related.
Elaine Randolph, stage manager, what are your highlights of 2012? Did you have any?
I got to visit my cousins in Denver, and we went to the Rocky Mountains, and I got to stand on top of a mountain and, you know, sing John Denver songs. Rocky Mountain High!
Matt Rippey, it's been such a big, long 2012 year. What are your highlights, sir?
Well, okay, well, for starters, I've got these highlights. Most people go blonde. I'm going gray.
That's good. That's a very smart choice.
My gray highlights. I'm very old.
I became a great aunt for the fifth time, I think.
Well, that's good, because prior to this point, you had only been a somewhat average aunt.
Yes.
But now you are a great one.
And it's a medical miracle, because I'm only 25.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 317, Year End Highlights.
That has to be considered one of our top events of 2012, at least mine, and I'm sure yours, the fact that we were in Britain for 11 weeks of summer, including during the Olympics.
Oh, it was amazing. I go back and look at the Facebook posts, and, you know, there we are, you and me and Rippey being interviewed at the Olympic Village by the BBC, and the Olympic torch coming down the street where most of us were living, and getting to see that just standing on the sidewalk, and then... my wife Jane and our sons got to see women's Olympic archery team finals at Lourdes, which was fantastic. And then I went down and saw the Olympic marathon finals. And I was standing in an intersection where the runners came past four or five times. It was just, what an incredible summer.
Well, and a privilege, such a privilege to be there, to do what we do, to be able to go there. And, well, yes, it's a privilege, but it's also, it wasn't 100% surprised, because when we started to write the show, when we first started talking about the show 7 years ago, we thought, gee, wouldn't it be great if we wrote a show about the Olympics and ended up in London? And it worked.
Well, and to be back in the theater where you joined the company 20 years ago, to go back there, you know, all these years later, it was fantastic. And the other great thing is, you know, having our families with us. That's often not the case. And to have such a special summer and to have our families there with us for almost all of it was fantastic.
For this final podcast of 2012, I gathered thoughts and reminiscences from the entire RSC, both on stage and off, about their highlights of 2012, which ends tonight. And in fact, as I record this, has already ended for Australia, New Zealand, and much of Asia. So Happy New Year, you guys. But I wasn't in San Diego last week, where Mick Orff, Michael Faulkner, and Dustin Sullivan were finishing up their three-week run of The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged. So Mick, Michael, and Dustin were good enough to record their own memories and thoughts themselves.
You know, one thing that I'm thankful for specifically that is associated with this show is the opportunity to pick up my guitar.
Oh.
This guitar made me take my guitar, which hadn't been seen a luthier, and that's the name of the people who fix and make guitars, luthiers. Mm-hmm. And I took it to a luthier and had them like set it up so awesomely that it now is a real pleasure and joy to play. And it wasn't before that, because I had a really high action. And now it is just gorgeous, and I've been playing it a lot and just having such a fantastic time playing my guitar. So much so, in fact, that I went out and bought a guitar for my wife for Christmas so that we can play guitar together.
Wow.
So I'm thankful for that. That's one thing. I got a couple others, but what do you got?
Well, from the show, I mentioned this at our talk back that we just had last night, but I am thankful to finally have the chance to do my George Bailey It's a Wonderful Life portion on the stage. I waited all my life for the opportunity, and it finally came.
Yeah,
you're nothing but a lousy spider, is what you are.
I still think you're getting mileage out of that.
I'm very grateful for the little curly bit when I'm the ghost. It gets a lot of laughs. I like to steal that. It's very fun. It's
the most amount of laughs for the least amount of work.
Yes, it's an effortless. It's such silly and stupid thing.
I'm thankful to see one of my sisters get married.
Wow.
Which was a lovely, lovely thing to an awesome guy. I'm thankful for all the Friday night Halo sessions with my brother. Since we're both single, we're able to do that sort of thing. thankful for, family being healthy and happy, and thankful to have the first reading of my musical done.
There you go.
That was really exciting.
That was really cool.
So, yeah, it's been a good year.
Big year for you. Yeah. Very good.
Bought a new house before.
Yes, my wife and kids and I bought a house. We own it. We own it as we speak, and we haven't moved in yet. But as soon as I get back, right after Christmas, we're gonna start moving in little by little and take our time. We've got until about January 10th. I'm very grateful for that. And, of course, as always, for my wife and kids. I know it sounds cliche and hokey, but they really are. Yeah. They're really great. And I'm grateful I'm going to be home in time for Christmas.
Woo! Yeah, I guess I also, I got to play Malvolio in Twelfth Night this year, which was a dream role.
Yes.
That since I was in a really, like, the awesomest production of Twelfth Night at Shakespeare Santa Cruz in 1992, I played Fabian, and I got to be, really a part of the Malvolio subplot, and then to finally play Malvolio after all those years is awesome.
Merry Christmas, everybody, happy
New Year, Merry
Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa holidays,
Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah,
yeah.
And we hope that we'll be thanking you for learning a new RSC show next year.
Yes, please.
Well, on the topic of a new RSC show in 2013, I have no comment. But now we go to Humpy's, the pub and ale house in Anchorage, Alaska, where I got Matt Rippey to talk about his 2012.
Here's the thing. As people who know me know that I haven't really been a fan of television for a long time. So a highlight for me this year in 2012 was that I actually began watching television. It might be because of the interns at Merrimack Repertory Theater. It might be because of the fact that I had a lovely couple of months downtime in L.A. And so I didn't actually catch television, but I had friends who put box sets on me and said, we're going to spend the weekend doing, for instance, Breaking Bad. Now, I live in London. I don't have my finger on the pulse of American television, but I watched Breaking Bad and I went, oh, times have changed. I watched the whole first two series in like the span of 48 hours. Do the math. I can't figure if that's right. I watched, someone got me onto Downton Abbey, which is from my own country, but I don't watch television, so I got it.
Whoa. It's Downton Abbey is from your own country?
Oh,
wait
no.
A second.
Did I just say that?
Uh-oh. You fucking traitor.
Well, I've been there 20 years. Okay, my own adopted country. I even watched Pushing Up Daisies. I even tried to watch one episode of Glee, so I think that for me was new.
But this is a 21st century thing. The binge viewing, the phenomenon of binge viewing, and there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, well, because as you guys know, on the road, it's hard to say. Well, this show comes on every Tuesday night at. I don't know where I'm going to be next Tuesday. Allie tells me where I'm going to be next Tuesday, and it's probably, I don't know, Bermuda, St. Louis, wherever. So I need to have a box set, hit me with it, and I'll watch it all in one go. And then on a personal note, this year was an excellent year on the road with the Reduced Shakespeare Company because I spent a lot of time not flying back to London,
yeah,
but actually spending time with family. And I think I had some of the best just sit around like we used to do in Texas down in Waxahachie. My favorite memories are sitting around with my dad, and he loves to tell stories. And so hearing stories about growing up in that panhandle of Texas, up near Childress, Texas, and him talking about having chicken on a Friday night and watching my Grandma B. Grandma B was a tough old panhandle woman. And he'd talk about how she'd go in and she'd just grab a couple of chickens and wring their necks with just a kind of a, you can't see what I'm doing, but just a little twist of the arms, and then she'd hand them and say, OD, pluck these chickens. And that meant that it was chicken on a Friday night.
Right.
And hearing these stories, that's one of my highlights, is being back in my home country.
That's great. No, that's great. Family.
See how I said that? Home country.
Home country,
I'm back in Texas now, baby.
You better not talk like that when you get back to London, boy.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic.
Hi, this is Mayor Cory Booker of the great city of Newark, New Jersey.
I'm Corba Coleman with NPR News.
Hi, I'm Ann Hage.
Hey, I'm Eric Stonestreet from ABC's Modern Family.
Hey, everybody, I'm Frank Malico.
Hi, I'm Kay Chichner. I'm Austin's mother.
Hi, this is Rick Lombardo, Artistic Director at the San Jose Repertory Theater.
Hey, this is Joel Murray, Freddie Rumsen from Mad Men.
Hi there, this is Paul.
This is Storm.
Together we would be Paul and Storm.
Hi, I'm Dick Costolo from Twitter.
Hey, guys, Will Durst here.
This is Stephen Klein, President of the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton.
This is Neil Conan from NPR News and the Talk of the Nation, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Podcast, dagnabbit! The quality of mercy is not strained. It's sprinkling from above like the... No.
Now you're just showing off.
Well, in 2012, I read a ton of books, which is great, because I've just gotten, I go back and forth between the hardcovers that I can jam in, and then I have a bunch of books loaded onto my iPad. So when I run out of the hardcover books and I'm stuck, it's like, ooh, I got my next one right there. But I read, three stand out for me right now. The one I'm almost finished with is Jasper Ford's latest book called The Last Dragon Slayer. And I like all of his books, and we've talked about him before, and we've interviewed him on the podcast before. But this one, this one is... This is his first book for young audiences, and I think I liked it more because it was just none of that boring, what do they have in novels, reflection, description. It just goes sort of action, action, event, event, event. And so I really, I got it for Daisy as a present. Daisy read it, my 12-year-old, and she loved it, and she said, Daddy, you got to read it. So I did, and I'm loving it. But then I read a book that I'm several years passed by. It's called The Passage by Justin Cronin. It is a end of the world zombie novel. I'm a sucker for end of the world zombie movies. This was the first novel I'd read. It was many critics' book of the year in like 2010, and I finally read it this year. It is absolutely, it's real, it's a doorstop, but it was absolutely as page turning and everything I wanted it to be. And then the third book I read, this came out of the blue. It's called The Man from Primrose Lane by James Renner, and I can't tell you much about it because it'll spoil it. But it was recommended to me by AJ Mass, who podcast listeners will know from our conversations. You'll know the kind of books we were talking about. He just said, read it. Don't read anything about it. Just read the book. I did. It has elements of Stephen King. It has elements of John Grisham and Scott Turow. It has other elements that I will not discuss. But if you at all like the kinds of things that I like, you should go out and read it right now. Get it, get it, get it. Those are the three best books for me from 2012.
I just read Must You Go, I think is the title, by Antonia Fraser, who was Harold Pinter's second wife. And it tells the story of them meeting and their relationship and his success and her writing the Marie Antoinette novel, which became the movie by Sofia Coppola, and then his illness and his Nobel Prize. And it just very... It's a great book, you know, if you're interested in theater. I reread this year Catcher in the Rye.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you know this. That's a pretty good book.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd read it since high school. So, you know, he passed away, and I thought, I should reread that. And it's great. And our sort of bathroom reading at the moment is Stephen Colbert's I Am America, and So Can You. We pulled that one out in The Onion, Our Dumb Planet. And both of those are brilliant.
You know, speaking of books and Catcher in the Rye, you know, I read, again, at Daisy's suggestion, the Hunger Games trilogy, which I put off because I went, wait a second, what? No, kids killing kids? I'm a parent now. I can see why that's cool to grown up to kids, but I didn't want to do it. And I read it, and I can see why it's as popular as it is. It's so much better than the Twilight books, I mean, in terms of being well-written, and I can see why it's popular for girls particularly. It's empowering, but there's boy stuff, there's fashion stuff, there's all sorts of girls becoming, you know, adolescents and becoming teenagers stuff. And really, it's no more violent than Lord of the Flies. You know, which I had to, it occurred to me as I was reading the book, and I went, oh, right, Lord of the Flies is a pretty brutal book, too, for kids, supposedly.
Speaking of brutal, another book I read this year is called Slapstick. And I think it's published in Britain, and it's a history of performing of humor.
Yeah, good.
Over the years, with kind of a little bit more emphasis on people that, British comedians than Americans, but with plenty of Americans. Yeah. And that's just fun to go back and remind yourself of all the great comics and the routines and the bits. It's great. I guess it wasn't 2012. I guess it was fall of 2011, but I just watched it again. And I don't think it's just because I'm a baseball fan. Moneyball.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Is fantastic. And then, well, and as a baseball fan, the fact that the A's then again this year won their division with Billy Beane as a general manager and beating out the big salary teams of Texas and California, it was
you know,
great.
Well, and that's one of those movies, too, and that I like that movie a lot, too, and we go back and forth about my love for baseball, which is that I love everything about baseball except for the actual game itself, and that movie was terrific. You know, it's the end of 2012, so these kinds of things, it's out in the theaters now, so it's on my mind, but the movie Lincoln. Have you seen that? Which you haven't seen yet.
No, Jane and I are making plans as soon as I get home.
It's, you know, Moneyball is a very small movie, but it has that kind of underdog sports drama structure to it. So it feels very much like a movie. Lincoln didn't feel like a movie to me as I sat there. I wanted it to be more gripping in a cliched movie kind of way, in an audience satisfying movie kind of way. And it isn't that, to its credit, because I just thought, you know, just days, even weeks now, a month after I've seen it, so much of it stays with me, so much of the performances, so much of the scenes, so much of the lines, so many of the events and the images that created. I mean, it just stays with me. And the last time I remember that happening, it's a completely different kind of movie, was The Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. I went in expecting one thing. Again, a kind of a classic, maybe cliched fairy tale romance. And it became this thing where in the theater I went, oh, yeah, well, okay, so I see what that is. But just as the days go by, I keep thinking about it. I keep replaying moments in my head. And I guess that's the mark of a really great movie or any kind of work of art, is that it really stays with you.
Well, and I had a movie like that this year, now that you talk through that, which was Searching for Sugarman, Looking for Sugarman.
Yeah, what is that?
Which is Catherine Naylor, Davy Naylor, our English tour manager's wife, said you have to go see this documentary.
Oh, about the guitar.
About a guitarist who's famous in South Africa, but he doesn't know it. And I'm not. Right. And then the word is that he's dead. And I'm not going to give anything away more than that.
Right.
But it's the kind of thing, every time I think about it, it really sticks with me. And when I hear other people talk, I go, oh, yeah, it was great. And then how could it, for me, the Giants won the World Series a second time. I'm sorry to bore everybody, but I had come to terms with the fact that the Giants in my lifetime were never probably going to win the World Series. And then 2 years ago, they won it. And I said, oh, my gosh, they won it in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And then to win it again 2 years later is so beyond the realm of anything.
Yeah.
My dream was maybe once in my life they'd win. To win 2 and 3 years and they're like borderline kind of dynasty is just, I just giggle when I think about it. Like, it's crazy.
Well, it's funny. I was in the Bay Area when all that was happening. So, and again, I'm a fair weather baseball fan, but the fact that I was in the Bay Area when it was happening, it's important to you. It's important to my brother-in-law hugely. It's important to my brother a lot. So I was just glad to be there to share it, because that was really fun. And I did get into all the drama, and they actually had some exciting games for a while.
Well, and because my wife Jane used to always laugh at me when baseball season would begin, and she said, "Reed, why are you following the Giants?" And it's just like following them since I was, I don't know, 11 years old.
Right,
so
right.
For now 20 years, I have been following them. And I guess that's the payoff to being a fan of a particular team, is that if it ever does happen, it is deeply satisfying.
Yeah.
There's some connection there between, it's you have a long relationship with that team. And I think what we're talking about with these books and movies is that we have come to have relationships with these works of art, you know, which is kind of fun. And you develop these relationships with authors or musicians or sports teams. And that can add up to some pretty satisfying moments.
And then you go back and you revisit something you've read or seen or listened to before. Or you say, oh, well, what's the next thing they're going to do? What's next season like?
Right. Yes. What's next year? What's 2013 going to be like?
Well, if the world lasts that long.
Well, that's true.
Damn Lions.
Hey,
of course, Austin, touring with you guys.
Oh, you're the best. Right? Well, and as we close out 2013, to the sounds of the whitest threesome playing Stevie Wonder we've ever heard, we wish you a happy new year!
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your 2012 highlights via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of the podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, father of six, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tessa White. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to all of our wonderful celebrity friends and blurbers. And thanks very much to you for listening.
Hi, I'm Dominic Conti.
I'm Mick Orr.
I'm Michael Faulkner.
I'm Dustin Sullivan.
I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Matthew Croak.
I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Matt Rippey.
And we are
100% of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
There were some definite low lights in 2012, especially for me personally, and we did a podcast about that a few months ago. But just before the year of 2012 ended, last Friday, in fact, on December 28th, something incredibly joyful happened, which I will let Matt Croak, the man it happened to, describe himself.
I've been very blessed to meet Cheryl Nillis, who also has three daughters, and we are getting married at the end of this year, 2012. She has three girls. I have three girls. There will be a nanny. Except for the dog, we will be combining families for six girls and us.
So your wife-to-be is female. Yes. Your daughters are female. Right. Her daughters are female. The nanny's female. The dog?
Two guinea pigs. Two male guinea pigs. Yes.
So you and the guinea pigs.
Yes, Bo and Charlotte.
In some ways, I think it's three guinea pigs.
Well, this is perfect because that's what I got you for as a wedding present, is a vagina.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.